Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Ches. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, at the upper part of Daf Ches in Maseches Sanhedrin, continues with a series of drushes based on the psukim in Dvarim Perek Aleph, psukim Tezayin through Yud Ches. Our opening drasha will be from the fourth line from the top. You can see, of course, that this is from a series by virtue of the fact that in our markings we have a double underline, which was one of our series markings. This series started at the lower part of the previous omid, at which point we had an introduction under the heading Nosei Mivneh, which we wrote in over there at the outside margin of Daf Zayin Omid Beis, Droshei Shal HaPsukim Dvarim Aleph Yud Tes Zayin through Yud Ches. Continuing here, fourth line from the Tat, Kakoton, Kagodol, Tishmon. Omer Reish Lakish, Shehei Choviv Olecho, Din Shel Pruto, Kedin Shel Mei Amona. Reish Lakish teaches that this pasuk informs us that the judge, Choviv literally means dear upon him, we can say, take seriously the din of a small amount, a case involving a Pruta, as he would take seriously a case involving 100 Mona. The Gemara asks, "Lamai hilchasa? What practical benefit is this drasha? Ilema liyuni bay umifseke? If the point of this drasha is to look into the matters, the case involving the very small amount of money, and the case involving the large amount of money, and treat them in the same way as you would the small case as you would investigate a major case, umifseke, and to paskin and to rule honestly, pshita." That's obvious. I don't need a pasuk to inform me that judges have to judge and investigate things honestly. Elo le'akdumi. The practical benefit of this drasha is that if there came in front of a judge a case involving a very small amount, and that case preceded a case involving a large amount, he should take first the case that came in front of him first, namely the small amount. Lo saguru mipnei ish ki hamishpat ve'elokim hu. Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo dayan l'rishoyim. Dayan means enough. It's not enough concerning rishoyim shenotlin mizeh momoin v'noslim azeh shalokidin, that the evil ones take money from one and give it to the other unlawfully. Elo shematrichin osi v'hachzi momoin l'bolov. And in addition to that, they trouble me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to return, to restore the money to the wronged party. Let us glance at Rashi. The Rashi is found on the upper part of the narrow lines, Ki Amishpot Le'elokimu, Ki Ilu Ato Don Umotzi Momo Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk is turning to judges, not to judge unlawfully, because if one does, so let us say a judge misappropriated funds from party A and in favor of party B, that will bring the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the picture, so to speak. Sharei olav lahachzir momon lebailov, because now it's upon the Kodesh Baruch Hu to restore party A with his lost funds. So the point is that the judges are warned that beware, when you're judging, you're not judging just men, but you're also judging God, so to speak. In the event that you judge something unlawfully, it brings the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the picture as well. The Gemara continues, V'hadovar asher yikshe mikem. This posuk was stated by Moshe Rabbeinu, where he said that which is difficult to you, takrivun elai, which would be bring it unto me. So, Omar Rabbi Chanina, V'itemo Rabbi Yoshio, Al Dover Ze, on this matter that Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself the authority to deal with the difficult cases, Ne'enash Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. What does that mean? So the Rashi points out, Shelo Zocha, he didn't merit, Shetoymar Loi, Parshas Nachlois, that the laws concerning inheritance were not told to him, Ad Shibo Maisa Lofana, Velo Yodam Alahashiv, until the case of the Benos Slavchad came unto him, unto Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't even know what to say. In other words, had, according to Rabbi Hanina, of course, the Gemara is going to challenge this in a minute, but had Moshe Rabbeinu not said, bring the tough cases to me, he would have, by the way, Rashi points out that Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, according to Rabbi Hanina, bring the cases in front of the Shekhinah, in front of the Divine Presence, and the Divine Presence will help resolve the issues, the tough issues. But since he said, bring it unto me, he did not merit having the Parsha of Nachlos said to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, as many other Parshas, as many other sections of the Torah were in fact told him directly, but rather there had to be an intervening incident, and even after that, he didn't know what to say on his own. That would be a form of embarrassment or punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara continues by explaining what does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Shenemar, Vayakrev Moshe es Mishpaton lefnei Hashem. This is a reference to the case of the Benos Slavchad and their desire or demand for land in Israel because their father died leaving no sons. So this is known as Parshas Nachlos. And as we said a moment before, Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know what to answer the Benos Slavchad until he brought the case to the Shekhinah. Maskif l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok challenges Rabbi Hanina and says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't accept upon himself authority and said, I will personally, I will take care, I will rule on those cases. Miksiv v'ashmi achem, does the Pasuk say, and I will tell you the legal result. Ushmati v'ksiv, which means, I will hear the case. E gamirna gamirna, if I happen to have learned the proper ruling. So, fine. V'iloi, and if I didn't learn the proper ruling, azlina v'gamirna, I will go and learn it. So according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, as opposed to Rabbi Chanina, Moshe Rabbeinu did nothing wrong in saying Vadover Asher Yikshe Mikem. Where in that pasuk he said Vadover Asher Yikshe Mikem Takrivun Elai Ushmativ, bring it to me and I will hear it. Ella, the question then is, why did Parshas Nachlos why was that not told to Moshe Rabbeinu directly? Kedisanya, the answer to that is featured in the following Tanaic source. In our marking system, we frame all Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises, or the restatement thereof. And here we have two cases. The two cases are featured in triangles with their the tops colored in, indicating some new type of series. In this case, it's two cases that were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they had to be brought to him, but they weren't told him directly because there was another agenda involved. Reuya Parshas Nachlos Shetikosev Almu Yudei Moshe Rabbeinu. In theory, the Parsha of Nachlos, the section of the Torah dealing with inheritance, should have been written directly by Moshe Rabbeinu through his communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it didn't happen that way in a direct fashion. Ela shezachu b'nai slavchad, rather the b'nai slavchad who were pious women, as they are featured in Maseches Bava Basra, v'nichtav al yodan, because of their piety and their great love of Eretz Yisrael, so the Parsha of Nachlos was written through them. In other words, through their case that was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the catalyst, so to speak, for Parshas Nachlos to be written. Likewise, Reuya Hoysa Parshas Mekoshesh Shetikosev Ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. This is another Parsha in the Torah dealing with a violation of the Halochas of Shabbos. As far as the translation of the word Mekoshesh, that itself is the subject of great controversy. So we will not translate that, but it involves a Parsha of an event of Shabbos violation. This parsha could have been written through Moshe Rabbeinu himself without any intervening cases. Elashin is chayiv mekoshesh. However, the mekoshesh, the person who was involved in that activity of Shabbos violation, was guilty. V'nichtevo al yodo, and through him, this parsha was written. L'damdecha, they teach us the following principle. Shemegaglin choyva al yedei chayav, uzchus al yedei zakai. That the negative comes about through those individuals who are negative, and the positive comes about through those individuals that are positive. Ksiv, continuing in the drushes, you can see the double underline indicates we're continuing with the drushes from Dvorim Perek Aleph, Vatzave es shoftechem bo esahi. That's Posuk Tezayin. Uksiv, and Posuk Yudches, which is very nearby, says Vatzave eschem bo esahi. So one, the first pasuk indicates, and I will command the judges, and the second, I will command you. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Simlai. The two pasukim represent two separate azhoras, warnings. Azhora l'tzibur shetei emas dayan aleihem. The tzibur is put on notice that they should have the fear of judges upon them. The azhora l'dayan she yisbo l'sat tzibur, and also a warning to the judges that they should have tolerance with regard to the general public. Ad kama, how much tolerance? Omar Rabbi Chonan, Omar v'itemo Rabbi Shabtai, kasher yisa ha'oymein es hayonek. The amount of tolerance that a nursing mother has to her suckling infant, which is a lot of patience. Ksiv, ki ato tovoi es ha'om, uksiv ki ato tovi es b'nei Yisrael. In the style of the Gemara we just had, with two psukim that were seemingly warnings to two people, to two institutions, like in the case of Atzava Eshoftechem or Atzava Eschem, so too we have over here two psukim where they seem to be very similar in who's being addressed, with a slight difference between them. The first pasuk says, "V'kiato tovo esa'am," which is mashma that you, and this is involving Yehoshua, who was going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The first pasuk said, "Because you will tovo esa'am," means sounds like come. Come with the people, you as one of them. The second pasuk, ki ato tovi es bnei Israel, you will be the one to bring them in, which is mashma a higher level of authority that you will have over them, not like one amongst them, but one over them. The Gemara explains, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar lo Moshe Yoshua, ato vazkenim shebador imohem. The first pasuk, which indicates you are like one of them, means that was a case where Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing Yeshua and said, "You and the elders amongst them." In other words, you're an equal to the rest of them, and you will lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, "Toil makel v'hach al kod kodam." Take a stick and hit them over their heads, of course an expression, and an expression of authority. You will have sole authority. Dabor echad l'dor, one leader for a generation. Vein shnei daborim l'dor. You don't have two leaders for a generation. In other words, when it comes to a matter of leading a people, it's effective only if you have one identifiable, singular source of authority. Let us glance at the Rashi, the upper part of the page. Moshe Omar lo, Zikenim Shebador Vato Imohem, Al Pihem, Ase Maase, Velo Tistor Alehem. You, Yehoshua, will rule and act in accordance with their, with the Zikenim, with the sages, the other sages, their ruling. Dahu Kro, Dechi Ato Tavo. Rashi points out that pasuk that said, Ki atotavo Moshe Omroi, that was stated by Moshe Rabbeinu, Kedichtiv Bei, El Haaretz Asher Nishba Hashem, that you will bring them into the land that Hashem swore to give. In other words, that pasuk is not stated by the Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, v'mikro dechiyata tovi, in that pasuk, see if it says El Horaz Asher Nishbati Lavozichem, to the land that I swore unto your forefathers. Amal Kodesh Baruch Hu be'atzmo amro. So you can see from the grammar of the pasuk who the speaker is. As you can see in the Gemara markings, we have a slash indicating that that which follows is of a totally new nature. In the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, that says Hazmona Ladin, literally the invitation to the din, or the summons to appear in front of a court. Okay, that topic will be the subject of discussion now until the next two dots. Tana, we open up with a Tanaic source. It says, Zimun b'shlosha. My Zimun. What is the term Zimun a reference to? Where it says, the Zimun is with three. Ilema birchas Zimun. If you were to think that this Tanaic source is referring to halachas involving birchas hamazon, that when birchas hamazon is led in a group form, it's led, if the group form is no less than three. V'atanya, we have another Tanaic source that says, Zimun u'birkas Zimun b'shlosha, which would, on the surface of things, indicate that Zimun is something other than birkas Zimun, because they're treated as two separate items. V'chitema, and if you'll try to say, Pirushe komaforish my Zimun birkas Zimun, and if you try to say that the source we just learned was a source that was self-explanatory. In other words, it opened up by saying Zimun and asked, it internally asked, and what is meant by Zimun, and it means Birkas Zimun. In other words, it's only one entity. V'hatanya. But we have another Tanaic source that says, Zimun b'shlosha. Birkas Zimun b'shlosha. By the structure of this source, you can see that there are two totally separate entities. Because the first example here, Zimun, it says straight away is Bishlosha. Hence the continuation of the source is not an explanation of the word Zimun, it's rather a new thing in which it says Birka Zimun Bishlosha. Ela, my Zimun. So what is meant by the Zimun Bishlosha? Azmuni Ladin, the summons to appear in front of a court. Kiha Diyama Rava, and we'll understand the halacha of the summons must be in front of three, based on Rava's teaching. Hani be tlosa dayoni de yasvi, three judges that are sitting, the ozel shlicha de beidino, the omar mipuma dechad, and the court agent or emissary goes to one of the litigants and says in the name of one of the judges that you are summoned by this particular judge to the court, lo omar klum. His summons is of no value, ad de omar mishmei de kulhu, until he says in the name of all of the judges. Now, this is qualified, Hani Mili, below Yom Adedina. This is true if the summons is on a day other than Mondays or Thursdays, which are the days that the court sits in session. Avo be Yom Adedina, lest lanbo. However, if it's a summons on the day that the court is in session, then the preoccupation with this detail is not binding. In general, and Rashi points this out, that a person who violates a legitimate court summons can be excommunicated. Hence, if the basic summons is not accurate, and the person does not cooperate and doesn't show up, then he's not going to be subject to the excommunication. Tashlume kefel v'chulei. This is one of the quotes from the Mishnah, that Teshlumei Kefel is judged by three. Sholach Lei Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisdo the Rav Nachman Bar Yankiv. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Dine Knosses Bekama. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisdo sends to another Rav Nachman and says, Master, would you kindly teach us Dine Knosses, laws involving knas payment, literally, fines, laws involving knas payments, Bekama, how many judges are necessary? So the Gemara asks, "My komi bayale? What is Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda's question to begin with?" Ho anantanan b'shlosha. The Mishnah itself features that the cases involving fines, like we just mentioned, kefel, the double payment, that's judged by three. So what's Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda asking? Elo Yochid Mumche Komi Boyale, what Rav Chisda was trying to find out about, what is the law regarding a singular judge who happens to be expert? Can he judge cases of fines? Doin Dine Knosis Oloi. Can they judge those cases or not? We now see an answer that will take three lines approximately to develop, and that we can see by the long question marking indicated in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi. Omarle Tanisua. So Rav Nachman Bar Yankiv answers, you can determine the answer from the following source. Tashlumi Kefel, Tashlumi Arbo V'Chamisha, B'Shloisha. My Shlosha. What is the reference to three in our Mishnah? I lema shloisha hedyotos, if you were to think that it refers to three commoners, Omar avua di avuch, mishmei de Rav, your paternal grandfather said in the name of Rav, afilu asora vehein hedyotos psuvin ledine knosis. Even if they're 10 people, but they happen to be commoners, in other words, no expertise amongst them, they're not acceptable to dan dine knosos, to judge cases involving fines. Ela mumchin. Rather, when dealing with knosos, when dealing with those kind of cases, you have to have experts. The Ko'omar and the Mishnah says, shloisha. So, if the question was, and it in fact was, can a yochid mumche judge a case of knas? The answer is no. For knas cases, you have to have mumchin. Three of them, not one. As we continue in the Gemara, we are going to feature numerous explanations concerning the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah regarding the number of judges required to judge cases of Motzi Shem Ra. Motzi Shem Ra is a situation where a husband newly married to his wife, upon consummating their marriage, he declares that lo motzosi lebitcha psulim, that I don't find your daughter to be a virgin. In other words, the husband is saying that she was with another man before being with me. In the event that a husband can bring witnesses to prove that this woman, his new wife, was with another man prior to their nisuin, in other words, after their kiddushin, after the first stage of the marriage, which is known as erusin or kiddushin, and before the nisuin, if he could successfully bring witnesses to prove that, then the woman will be subject to the penalty of skila. However, if the husband cannot bring witnesses to prove that, but he does make a declaration all the same that I found her to be a non-basula, we will believe the husband, and she will lose her ksuba rights. The loss of the ksuba rights is basically a dine momonos issue. However, when a person makes such a declaration, a husband makes such a declaration that I did not find her to be a basula, it's possible that somewhere out there in the general public, there are witnesses that might come forward and say, yeah, this husband's telling the truth. She was with another man, and in fact, we were present when she was with that other man. If witnesses like that would come forth, it would turn this, what would seem to be a strictly monetary issue, in other words, loss of her ksuba rights, and turn it into a capital case. So our Mishnah is featuring the issue of Motzi Shem Ra, and we see Rabbi Meir saying that the cases of Motzi Shem Ra are dealt with by three, and the Chacham say the case of Motzi Shem Ra is dealt with by a court of 23. It's now worth emphasizing that the husband, when he makes his initial presentation or case or claim that that lo motzosi libitcha psulim, that I did not find after being with her the first time as husband and wife in the case of nisuin, that I did not find her to be a basula, a virgin. My feeling is that she was with someone else beforehand. He is coming. This husband is coming strictly with the intent of causing a ksuba loss. Be in view of the fact that he is not coming with Adim, with witnesses that said that she was immoral she was behaving immorally with another man. Because if that were the case, that the husband was walking into court with two witnesses that could testify that she was with another man, then no one would say that the case is a case of involving three judges, that the case would be judged by three, as Rebbe Meir says over here. That would be very obviously a capital case. So with that assumption in mind, that he's walking into court without those witnesses, simply with his own claim that I feel that she was with another man, and the husband is attempting to cause her to be deprived of her ksuba rights, under circumstances like that, we have the machlokas Rebbe Meir saying three judges are sufficient because it's strictly a monetary matter, and the Chachamim saying that the case is potentially a dinei nefashos case, a capital case. The Gemara now opens up. V'chi yesh boi dinei nefashos mai have. Before we read that, maybe we should read the Dibur HaMaschil again. V'chachamim omrim motzi shemra be'esrim u'shlosha, and we read the continuation from the Mishnah that says mipnei sheyesh bo dinei nefashos. The Chachamim's position was that motzi shemra cases need 23 judges because it has a capital element to it. So on this, the Gemara asks, V'chi yesh boi dinei nefashos mai have. So what? It has a capital element to it. But right now, it's not a capital case because there are no witnesses. There's only the husband's claim that he feels that she was with another man. And parenthetically, or by the way, there is a principle that a husband who makes such a claim has believability, because the feeling is the husband, at least in the time of the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara, it was assumed that the husband was the one investing in the wedding meal. He spent a lot of money to put the whole thing together. If he's now coming and saying that the whole thing ought to be off, in other words, after the meal and all that's involved in the preparations and the expenditures, he goes then with his new bride and for the first time to be together as man and wife, if he's coming forth and saying that she was with another man, if it wasn't true from the husband's standpoint, then he wouldn't have said such a thing, causing himself to lose, so to speak, all of that financial investment in the se'uda. The rule being chazaka ein adam tereach b'seuda u'mafsida. With that, we continue in the Gemara, having asked the question: so what? There's a potential for dinei nefashos. Right now, there's no dinei nefashos. There's only the husband coming in with his claim that I feel she was with another man, and hence does not deserve her ksuba. Why do the Chachamim then say that there's a need for 23? Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of a very valuable introductory note in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh, and we indicate, and this can be very helpful for seeing the overview, that this is Ad Tes Amud Beis. This discussion will continue to Daf Tes Amud Beis, a rather long, rather lengthy discussion. What we'll see here are a house form, the house form being one of our series markings, indicating Shmoina Hesberim, or eight Hesberim Lahasbir, eight explanations to explain Machlokes Rebbe Meir Chachamim B'Mishnah B'Minyan Hadayonim, regarding the controversy in the Mishnah between Rebbe Meir Chachamim involving the number of judges, Lodun B'Moisi Shemra, to judge the case that we have already introduced, the case of Moisi Shemra, where Rebbe Meir holds 3 and the Chachamim hold 23. So Ula opens up the list of Rabbonim that will address this issue. B'choshishin l'laz komifligi. Do we take into account the public murmurings that arise as a result of the husband coming in with his claim of lo motzosi lebitcha psulim. What is the practical ramification of the public murmurings? As we said before, when the claim is made, some people out there in the public, two witnesses, may be out there that would say, hey, we know, like the husband claims, that she was with another man because we were there and saw it. We saw that act. And if they were to come forward, then it would turn the case into a capital case. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Meir Savar Ein Choshishim Lelaz. Rabbi Meir says, we don't take that into consideration. The husband is coming with a financial issue, namely that I don't want her to receive her ksuba, and that's it. Rabbonan Savri Choshishim Lelaz. And the Rabbonan say, we must take into consideration this possibility, and the case would then convert into an issue of a capital issue, whereby 23 judges are necessary. Rabo Omar, the Kule Alma Lelaz Lo Chayshinan. Rabo disagrees with Ula and says, all authorities, all Tanoim will say, including the Rabbonin, that we're not Choshesh for Laz. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Kule Alma Lo Chayshinan Lelaz. Im tchilas tviosu shabal lo bo lidon al pi edim. And if the case was, like we said before, if it had been like that, namely where the husband initially came in without witnesses, elo al yidei atzmoi, but rather he, the husband, came in by himself, ula hafsidu ksuboso, and his intention was to deprive her of the ksuba payment, modu rabbonon de bishlosha, even the rabbonon would agree that it's judged by three. So what happened in the Mishnah? What was the case of the Mishnah that generates this machlokas, where the Rabbanan hold that you do need to have 23? So Rabbo says that all agree, l'laz lo chayshinan. V'hocha, the Gemara continues, second line from the bottom, v'hocha b'choshishin l'chavoydon shel rishonim kol miflagi. The issue here is, do we concern ourselves with the honor of the original judges? Which original judges? The Hocha B'mayaskinon, and here in the Mishnah, the case that's alluded to, that generates the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, could go into Ichnif Bey Esrim Uthlosa, Lemeidan Dine Nefoshos, the Ivdur, where there's Ichnif means gathered together. There were 23 judges gathered together initially, because the husband said, I have witnesses that could testify that she was immoral after our erison. And by virtue of the fact that the husband made such a claim, that I have witnesses that could testify to that, we know that we have a capital case on our hands. And what happened? The husband went out to seek, after he mentioned this, and 23 judges gathered together, the husband then went to seek the witnesses and couldn't find them. And as a result of them, the husband not being able to bring the witnesses, the Gemara reports here, v'ivdur, and they scattered, they went their own way. V'omar lehu, and then the Baal said, okay, I can't find the witnesses, but dainu li miha dine momentus, but I want you all the same to address the financial matter, namely the ksuba matter. True, we don't have a capital case because without the witnesses there is no case. However, there still is a financial case based on my word, as we mentioned before, that a husband wouldn't say that the lo motzosi bitcha psulim, that I find her to have been, I feel she was with another man, unless he was telling the truth, because otherwise all the money that he invested in making their wedding is down the drain. That having been said, what's the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Rabbi Meir holds that three judges are enough to judge the case, that even though initially there were 23, but they went their own way, we don't have to worry about their honor, and we judge the financial issue on its own merits. The Rabbanan, however, disagree and say, we're a choshish l'chvoidon shel rishonim, since you initially gathered all 23, even though right now it's only a financial case, but to bestow the proper honor to those people that you did have here in the first place, we're not going to judge even the financial case, the case of the ksuba, unless we have all 23 judges present. Mesve. We now challenge the shita of Rava, of Ula. We're going to challenge Ula with a Tanaic source. The Gemara is going to say, after quoting this two-line Tanaic source, that we'll be able to explain things according to Rava, but according to Ula, we will run into some difficulty. So here we have a brisa. The Chachamim Omrim. Bear in mind, we've dashed underlined the Chachamim to emphasize Chachamim as opposed to Rebbe Meir. The Chachamim say, Tavu Mamoin B'Shloisha. If there's a money claim, then it's judged, in the case of Motzi Shemra, it's judged by three. Tavu Nefashos B'Esra M'Shloisha. If there's a capital case, then you need 23 judges. So we have a Shita Chachamim that makes a distinction between Dinei Momonos and Dinei Nefashos within the realm of Motzi Shemra. Bishlamo L'Rabba, the source can be explained according to Rabba's approach as follows. Tavoi Momon Tchila, if the initial appearance of the husband was only for the Ksuba and not for capital cases, because he came in without witnesses, then three judges are sufficient. That's as Rabba would have understood things. Tavoi nefashos tchila, if the husband initially came in with witnesses, in other words, he claimed that he would be able to prosecute this on as a capital case. Afilu momoin be'esrim ushlosha. Even the case of Mamon, namely, like we said before, if the husband claimed he would have witnesses and hence thought he was having a capital case on his hands and couldn't find witnesses, even if he wants to pursue the financial aspect, he'll still need to have the 23. So according to Rabba, this source on the top that had 3 and 23 can be explained by two different circumstances where what was his initial claim? If his initial claim was Momon Tchila, then therefore 3 would be enough. If his initial claim was that I have a capital case, even if it turns into a Momonous case, you'll still need to have 23. As Rabba said, because we're Choshish L'Chvoidon Shel Rishonim, we're concerned with the honor of the original judges, according to the Shitas Chachamim that Rabba was coming to explain. However, according to Ula, who says we're choshesh lelaz, Ula said that according to the Chachamim, as opposed to Rebbe Meir, you always have to have 23 judges, even where the initial mamon claim, even where the initial claim is mamon, namely where the husband comes into court without witnesses. Ula said, according to the Chachamim, you still have to take into consideration that there may be witnesses out there that will come forward and say they saw the actual incident, turning it into a capital case. So, according to Ula, in his approach to the Chachamim, there doesn't seem to ever be a case where there would be three judges in Motzi Shemra. How will Ula therefore explain this source at the top, wherein the Chachamim say that Tavo Mamon, that where there's a money claim, three are enough? The question has been asked. We now see Rava with a long answer that follows, as you can see by the notation, the encircled tuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line. Rava says, Ani v'ari shebachur chabura, and the lion in our group, in our those that we're learning together, Targimna, explained, and the Gemara asks, by the way, an umanu, and who is the lion in the group? Rabbi Chiya bar Oven. Hacha b'mayaskinan. They explained that the brisa, particularly the resha of the brisa of Tavoi Mamon, what is the case that the Chachamim would say three are enough? So the case is understood by going on in the Gemara a couple of lines to see the whole picture. It's a couple stages. Hence we've indicated Aleph. Shehevi Habal Eidim Shezinsa. The background to the Tavo Mamon is as follows. The husband initially brought in witnesses that she, his new wife, was in fact immoral before their Nisuin. That would have created a capital case. Vehevi ho'av edim vehezimum le'ede haval. And then the father of the girl brought witnesses that were mazim. We'll explain that momentarily, that showed the husband's witnesses to be liars. Now, Hazoma is a case where the second set of witnesses say to the first set of witnesses, how can you testify about what you're saying that happened on such and such a time when on that date that you people are claiming the incident took place, you were with us in another location? That's called Hazoma. So the father brings his own set of witnesses that invalidates the witnesses that the husband brought in. As a result of that, we expose the husband to be a fraud. The Torah rules that a man, a husband who is guilty of motzi shemra, of saying that his wife was immoral when in fact she was not, as we've illustrated in this particular case, the husband is chayef to pay 100 coins. The father therefore has a financial claim against this husband. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a frame, but it's featured as a dashed frame. We've indicated in the inside margin next to the asterisk, Mizgeres Mekuvkav, this broken line frame, Hainu Hezber Shel HaBraisa Barosh Amud. We're trying to show that this parallels the source on the top. This is an explanation of the source on the top. So we treat it as if it were a Teneg source with this broken frame to indicate that this is an explanation of that source as opposed to the source itself. Bo Ligvois Mamon Mibal, where the father puts a claim of money against the husband, namely the Mea Kesef, that the husband is chayev to pay for lying about this man's daughter. Bishlosha, that will be judged by three. That's a purely financial issue. Let's bear in mind, we're coming to explain Ula. Rashi explains over here that as far as Choshishin Lelaz at this point, that maybe there are other witnesses out there, this man, this husband has been exposed as a liar already. And as a result of that, we're not concerned with the possibility of there being other witnesses out there. Hence, when the father puts a claim in for the money that's due to him, three judges are enough. Uvemokoim nefashos. However, in a case where this did not take place yet, in other words, the initial appearance of the husband was taking place, then you need to have 23, as we said before. Let's take a look at the Rashi. He says, "Uvemokim deiko dinei nefashos, klomar v'cholecho deiko lemechash lenefashos." Wherever there's room to suspect it might turn into a capital case, kigam betchilas adin. For example, at the opening of this whole case, afilu ein loy edim. Even if the husband comes in without witnesses, yesh lachu shema yishmu v'yavo edim, and therefore esrim u'shlosha boi. So what we've seen in this Gemara up till this point is the machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, how many judges are needed to judge a case of motzi shemra. Rabbi Meir saying 3, the Chachamim saying 23. We saw Ula's explanation involving a husband coming in without witnesses. And why would the Chachamim say you need 23? Ula said because of Choshishin Lelaz. We saw Rabbah saying that it was a case where a husband came into court claiming that he would show that this is a capital case. Hence the Chachamim said, since you're claiming it's going to be a capital case, you have to have 23, even in the event that the husband does not bring in the witnesses and he pursues just the money aspect of it, the deprivation of the ksuba, you'll still need to have the original 23 judges there because of Choshishin L'Kvodim Sherishonim. We then raised a question on Ula's approach from a Tanaic source, and we presented that at the top of Ches Omid Beis, and we just provided an answer to explain how that source at the top where the Chachamim say that there's a possibility of three, that can take place. And that was based on Rova and Rebchia Bar Oven's interpretation, that involved the opening of that brisa involved actually a later stage in the events where the husband's witnesses were shown to be Edim Zomimim, and by the father bringing in his witnesses, canceling those first two witnesses. And at that point, the father was pressing a financial claim only. And hence, even the Chachamim would agree three witnesses would be enough. As we go on in the Gemara, we see another explanation, and that's offered by Abaye. Abaye Omar, Dekule Alma, all those concerned, namely Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim, will agree. Aleph, point one, Chayshinon Lelaaz, and Beis, Umishum Kvoidon Shel Rishonim. In other words, the two ideas raised by Ula and Rabbah, according to Abaye, the Tanoim do not disagree over those things. The case in our Mishnah, wherein there is a controversy, Kagon de Asru Ba Stam. The witnesses who the husband brought in tell the court that they warned her in a general fashion. In our topic heading in the outside margin, we have a tatnose, e boi lahasros be'eza misa. Is it necessary for witnesses, in order to have a true capital case on our hands, is it necessary for the witnesses to warn the violator beforehand as to not only that he or she will be guilty of a death penalty, but explain which kind of death penalty? As you may know, there are four kinds of death penalties depending on the different type of avera. The four are known as skila, srefa, hereg, and chenek. Do they have to specify which type of death? So the case in our Mishnah will be a situation where the witnesses say, we warned the parties that there is a death penalty, but they didn't warn what type of death penalty. That's what was just meant here of the Asru Ba Stam. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of the Rashi to serve also as an introduction to the answer. Rashi is under the Gemara, Abaye Omar, e b'shelo hevi edim, if the case were one where the husband did not bring witnesses, d'kulei alma choshishin l'laz, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Meir would agree, that we are concerned about the murmurings aroused in the public, u'bo'ino neser m'shlosh adu mashami sahadi v'osu, for there is a fear that, or a concern that witnesses in the public will come forward, and therefore we'll need 23. And by the fact that we gather in 23 at the beginning, even in the case that the husband is not successful in bringing witnesses that he claimed he would bring, and the judge is scattered, we would not prosecute even the money aspect, the ksuba aspect, unless we have those initial 23 present because of our concern for their honor. And that everyone would agree with, even Rabbi Meir. The Hocha Beplukta de Masnisin, Rashi explains here that there is a machlokis in the Mishnah, Kagon Shehevi Edim Betchilas Hazmanos Ledin, where the husband brought witnesses at his initial appearance. The Su Lekol Mechash Le Saadi Achrini. Once he brings witnesses in, we do not concern ourselves with any further chashash, any further suspicion that maybe there are others out there. Vehani, Amri, Ba'api, Tlosa. And the two witnesses that he brings in say in front of three judges, Tehisru Ba Miso Stam, that when they warned her about her intended act of immorality, they warned her that she would be guilty of a death penalty. But they didn't mention that the Nara Hamurosa that she was would be guilty of a stoning penalty. As a result of that, we now have grounds for a machlokes. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Suleka Hocha Dinei Nefashos. The case is no longer going to continue as a capital case because they didn't give a specific warning, specific enough. Namely, they didn't detail which kind of death penalty. These three judges are enough to continue the case on its financial basis. Even in the worst case, that these witnesses would be shown to be zaymimim, they would there would still be a money payment of 100 kesef. And money payments are judged by three. V'rabbonan savri, the rabbonan on the other hand who said 23, came unto asru bei misa, since these witnesses did say that she would suffer a death penalty, even though they weren't specific about which death penalty, dinei nefashos ika, there still is a capital case, umiktala, and she is to be killed. V'hai tanahu v'chule, and the chachomim at the top will conform to that authority. Ubraisa dekatoni l'rabbonan tovu momon b'shlosha. The braisa at the top, as opposed to our Mishnah, as far as the braisa is concerned, that mentioned tovu momon b'shlosha, kiditzu Reb Chiya bar Oven, as Reb Chiya bar Oven already explained the case where the Eidei Haval were found to be zoymimim. Let's now see this in the Gemara. So Abaye says that the Shitas Chachomim in the Mishnah that says that you need to have 23, and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah says you need 3, their controversy surrounds the issue of witnesses that warned that she would be guilty, Misa Stam, when they warned her before she carried out her act of immorality, that she would be guilty of a death penalty, but did not specify which kind of death penalty. V'hai Tanahu, namely our Mishnah, will parallel the following two opinions that we see in the following Tanaic source, Desanya. The source begins, Ushar kol chayve misa shebatura. All other capital cases, other than the case of the Mesis, we're not going to discuss the Mesis at any length here. He will be the subject of a discussion later in the Masechet. But the Mesis is an individual who tries to convince others to practice idolatry. So all other cases, other than the case of Mesis, Ein Memisim Oysam Ela V'Eda V'Edim V'Hasra, the cases are not prosecuted unless you have 8 or 23 judges and witnesses and a warning. V'ad shiyodiuhu shuchayav misa bevesin. And another requirement is that the defendant was warned that he would be guilty of death by the court. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad shiyodiu be'eze misa hu ne'rag. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not have a capital case unless the defendant was informed of the nature of the death penalty, which kind of death penalty he would receive. Hence, in our Mishnah, we had witnesses, as Abaye said, we warned the woman about a death penalty, but not which kind of death penalty. So according to Rabbi Meir, who said three judges are enough, that is because there is no longer a capital case. Rabbi Meir agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that there's no capital case unless the nature of the death is said explicitly. However, the Chachamim who said 23 judges judge case of Motzi Shem Ra, because these witnesses that came in initially that said we warned her of a death penalty, you still have a capital case on your hands, just like the first opinion in this Tanaic source that we just learned, where we have written in a number 1. Hence, you need 23 judges to judge the capital case. Number four, Rav Papa Amar, Hacha, the Mishnah involves Beisha Chavera Askinan, where the Mishnah features a case where the woman who behaved immorally was a learned woman, Isha Chavera, a learned woman. This approach assumes the following principle, and we'll see that presented very shortly by Rabbi Yossi Bermuda. There is a thought or an opinion that holds that the whole purpose of witnesses serving notice or warning the defendant before the commission of the crime, that is lahavchin ben shogeg lemezid. That's as a result of our thought that maybe the defendant is an ignoramus and hence doesn't know that the act that he or she is about to commit is a forbidden act, and hence the witnesses have to issue a hasra, a warning. However, if you're dealing with a defendant that is learned, then there's no need for the warning according to this particular approach. So as we go on in the Gemara, Rav Papa will be telling us that a husband came into court and with witnesses, saying the witness is testifying that she was immoral. However, the witnesses tell us that they did not warn her. Why do the witnesses say they did not warn her? Because she was an Isha Chavera. She was a learned woman. The question now is, are witnesses who tell us that they did not warn her, is that considered legitimate testimony or grounds for continuing a capital case? Omar Rav Papa, we read his name again. Omar, Rav Papa Omar, Hocha Beisha Chavera Askinan. The case of the Mishnah involved a learned woman, and the witnesses tell us that they did not warn her. The Komiflagi Biplukta the Rabbi Yossi Rabbiuda Rabbanon, and Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir holding three judges, are the number to judge this case, and the Chachamim who said you need to have 23. Their controversy surrounds the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbiuda and the Rabbanon, the Sanya. Rabbi Yossi Rabbiuda Omer, Chover Ein Tzorich Asra. A learned person does not need to have the witnesses warning him. And even without a warning, the case would continue. Lefisha lo nitno hasra elo lahavchin bein shogeg lemezid. The whole institution of hasra was established. The issue of warning necessary beforehand was in order to make a distinction between the inadvertent and the premeditated. And that is a need when the defendant is ignorant and doesn't know, and we're suspicious maybe he's doing something inadvertently, hence there's a need for a warning. As far as the two opinions in the Mishnah are concerned, the Rebbe Meir, who said three witnesses is what is needed here, is because the witnesses the husband brings in says, we didn't warn her. And Rabbi Meir holds, even though she may be learned, she does not get killed. Because according to Rabbi Meir, all circumstances, not like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, need to have hasra. The Chachamim hold like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and says that since she was an Isha Chavera, we still have a capital case on our hands. Hence, you have to have 23 judges to judge it. With that, we end our shiur for today.